Certainly it's good to see each and every one out here tonight. Certainly it's a privilege to be here myself. Sorry that I was not able to be here last week. I'm here tonight. Tonight, I guess, don't really have a title for it, but there's a subject that I'd like to get at, if I can. We have a little paper at work and that they put out, and they call it a table topper, and they put it out on the tables where we work at, and it has thought of the day in it. And I read on there, and I thought, that's a really interesting thing there. It says, what it gives is it give a quote of some famous person, and I didn't even put the name because we're not about putting the glory to nobody else besides the Lord anyway. But it gives the definition of an optimist. And it said, personification of spring. So someone who is an optimist is like spring in a person. And I thought, that's really neat, ain't it? Well, there's a little punchline there. Me and my wife, we always talk about it, and she always tells me that I'm an optimist, and she always says she's a realist. So, you know, but anyways, in doing the sermon, I thought, well, there you go. But anyways, my point is with us as Christians, you know what? We should be optimistic, you know, because, and that should be the whole big picture of what our life's really about, you know, because we got more to be optimistic about than anybody else. And that's what I thought about when I thought this. I thought, that's just perfect. That's got to be a sermon right there. I said, because, you know, that's the way that the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be like a personification of spring. That's the way that the Lord wants us to be. With our big smile on our face, He wants us to be happy. You know, people don't want to be like us if we go around with our frown up like it is and our smile turned upside down. You know, people don't want to be like boring old Christians who don't ever have no fun, okay? Sorry, that's just it. You know, we have the greatest hope there is. We have the greatest joy. We're the most blessed people there are. This is the most blessed country there is in the world. You know, and we know no matter what little things that we might be going through in hard times and little trials and tribulations and temptations, just things we go through, you know what? We know that big picture is that one day we're going to a place that's so much greater than we can even imagine. Our minds won't even go far enough to comprehend. And yes, sure, we go through life and God allows us to go through times when we have such good times in our lives, such joy here in this life and peace and everything goes well. And memorable times in your life when, you know, life was so good, you know. And even now, it might be right now, it might be that life is so good for you right now. I don't know. It might be your time. But the point being is that in the end, it's going to be so much greater than that. You know, the Lord has one of those mansions reserved up there with my name on it. Me, Daryl Kelly, this little insignificant, like a pea ain't in comparison to God. He has a great mansion laid up for me one day. And not just me. It's not that I'm special. That's just my relationship with Him. It's for everyone else that wants one. It's for everyone else. It don't matter what you have in this life. It don't matter if you have that big mansion here or that little shack. You know, just like that song we sing, you know. I'm satisfied with whatever here. I'll just take that little old shack down here. But I want that big, huge mansion up there one day. That's it. That's why I'm working my life for the Lord. That's why I'm going to live my life for the Lord. That's why I'm going to help as many people as I can to get that same message, to realize if they don't realize it, that that's what it's all about. So I got the greatest reason, and so do you, being the most optimistic person in the world. And it's just nothing that you can deny. And I preached a sermon at our church this morning when we got done and we were talking about it. And one of the ladies, she said, that optimism that you have is what helps you make it through the things you have to go through in this life. And that's a true thing. That's the very essence of it right there is, yeah, we have enough to carry us through. We know. You know, I totally realize how come tragedies happen like the one Daddy mentioned in the prayer in West Virginia happens. When they showed the guy on TV and when he said those things about religion and about Jesus even, you know what? I know what the problem was right there. He didn't know the Lord. And even if he did know of the Lord, he didn't know the Lord. He had a warped perspective and a wrong perspective of what Jesus is and who Jesus is, or it never would happen. Hate is what brings about murderings and strife and all those things. Love, like we should have one for another, should never be something that would be among us. And it certainly would carry over into people who are like that. They need to see the love of the Lord more than anything. You know, and I don't know the whole deal of that perspective, but I'm just saying, I know what was missing, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out either, is that if they had the Lord Jesus Christ and knew of the love of God that He gave to us, then absolutely there would be no problem. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 17, chapter 4 and verse 23. It talks about our heart there a little bit. We'll do that first. I was getting my cart before the horse there a little bit. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 is where I want you to turn to. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Well, you know what? I know every day that there's a whole lot of issues going on in lives, don't you? Whether they're good or whether they're bad or whether they're not or whatever they may be. But you know what? There's never been a greater time in society or that I've ever lived in, for sure, in my short period of years that I've been here. And I thank the Lord for these 43 He's gave me. But there's not ever been a greater time that people need to keep their heart. They need to guard over their heart. They need to watch it. And the reason is because what this last part of this verse says here, "For out of it are the issues of life." You're going to figure out in your mind what you're going to do in your life is what it amounts to. In other words, there's a thought process going on in your thinking, and in the Scriptures related to your heart is what it's saying. If you don't guard it and keep it safe and keep it pure and keep it holy and keep it focused on the things of God and is of His works, whatever you make your priority, then that's who you're going to be. You know, it's garbage in and garbage out. Same way it is with the physical. Garbage in, garbage out. It's the same way with our spiritual life too, and with serving the Lord. If you can't expect to put garbage in or allow garbage in and expect it to turn out to be good, now can you? It's not so. That's one of those laws that God made it just like that, just like in sowing and reaping. That law is there. It can't be changed. It will not be changed. Whoever sows and however he sows, he's going to reap that same thing. We can relate that to sowing our gardens, can't we? If you plant corn, what do you get? You get corn, don't you? You plant beans, what do you get? You get beans, don't you? If you're sowing for the Lord, if you're sowing righteousness and kindness and love and peace and joy and those things, what are you going to get? Those same things. And the only difference is it going to be multiplied. And if on the other hand, if we're sowing those other things, unrighteousness and sin and all those bad things, thorns and briars and thistles and all those, you know what? We're going to get those back and they're going to be multiplied too. It just takes one kernel of corn to make a stalk, don't it? But how many kernels of corn comes from that one stalk? You ever noticed? We need to be real careful about how we're sowing and what we're sowing in, don't we? Very careful. That same thing with the Lord. If you're allowing your mind to, I'll get on this a little bit, and I don't always do it, but I hadn't been on it in a while. Whatever kind of music you listen to, whatever kind of things that you read, whatever news you watch, whatever you allow in. You know, I tell you what, I can't hardly even stand to listen to the news because it's so much negativism and it's all bad things. Do you ever hear him come on there hardly ever and say a good, nice thing? Hardly ever? No. Well, you're being constantly bombarded and fed that stuff. And even your songs, with what you listen to in your music. And I don't care what kind you listen to. Okay? There's very few that don't have some in it. Yeah, I know there's good songs and everything. But how many good songs you got to listen to, bad ones, to get to that one good song? Absolutely right there. You're allowing that stuff in. You're not keeping your heart. That's what I'm telling you. And I do all I can to try to keep my own and the people that I love around me. And I told them, and I do tell them continually, we need to keep our hearts. We need to watch out. If we're children of the Lord, we're supposed to keep our hearts pure and holy. And that means we don't need to let that other things in. You know, but we're doing it. We're allowing the world to creep in. And we're just constantly being bombarded. You can be watching something on TV, and even if what you watch on TV is decent, when they get you some commercials, they'll cram you some nasty in there. How about that? And it's pitiful. I like to watch football games, and always have. And I even got my antenna where I could watch a I like to watch Alabama football anyway, and that's pretty much what I care about anyways. But you'd be watching that, and the next thing you know, you got a big beer commercial crammed in there. You got some people parading around half naked, okay? And I don't care nothing about that. You know, and it's a sad thing when you can't go and watch nothing. When it gets to that point, you just listen to it on the radio, I guess. But the point being is, it's sad when you can't enjoy good, pure, holy things that there's nothing wrong with, that we're allowed to. There ain't nothing wrong with listening to a ball game, watching one on TV neither. But it's all the garbage around it, see? You know, and the devil realizes that too. He knows just exactly how we think and how we act, and he's cramming everything he can in. And we need to be on guard for it. That's it. Because, just like this says, out of it are the issues of life. It's going to determine who you are and where you go from here is what it's going to determine. If you're going to grow in the Lord and become strong and built up in Him, if you're going to have those, you know what? You get these images in your mind and they're not gone. They're in there. You know what I'm saying? You get glimpses of things that you shouldn't see, and it's in your mind. It's in your intellect. You got like a little picture in your memory of it. You know, so you know what would be easier? Just make sure it don't ever happen. Ain't that right? That's the surefire cure, ain't it? Do just like the Bible says, avoid the very appearance of evil. If you know it like it's like that right over here, just stay away from it. That's what the Scripture says. And we all need to do it. Turn with me, if you would, to it's Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. It talks about a merry heart there. It says, a merry heart doth like good medicine. Or doth good like a medicine is what it says. I'd always read that and it hadn't got that, I believe, there. But a merry heart doth good like medicine. If you're sick, what do you want? You want some good medicine, don't you? You want something to get you well, don't you? Ain't that it? Well, I'm telling you here tonight, a merry heart does you good like medicine does. It's the cure. The way you look at things, your outlook, your, whether you're optimistic or not, whether you're hopeful, whether you have that faith, you know, and it's easy, and I know that it is because I live right there every day. It's easy for us to let the cares of this world bog us all down and pour us down under. But you know what? If I keep my eye on that big picture, knowing that one day what that reward's going to be in heaven one day, that helps me be optimistic no matter what I'm going through. That helps me to have that joy deep down inside. Yeah, I might not be happy right at this moment with what's going on with me. Whatever troubles, trials, or tribulations, or hard times, or catastrophes even people have, and disasters. My heart goes out to those people who lost loved ones up there in Virginia Tech. It really does. We need to be praying for them. You know what? Because it's a sad thing that innocent people had to die over this situation. For whatever the reason or whatever, they need the comfort that only comes from the Lord. But you know what? We need to keep that focus on that. Not these little things, but it's the big picture. And that helps us keep a good, positive, this merry heart that it's talking about here. In Proverbs 15 and verse 13, it says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. You want to have a cheerful countenance? That's by this merry heart that makes it happen. That merry heart makes it happen. You know, you ever look at a little kid, you see how they go around, they'll be singing and how they're just happy as can be and just content. They don't have to have nothing. You know what I'm saying? That's the way that we as Christians should have. We should have a song in our heart. It should be some of these good songs that we sing going around in our heart. That's what should be on our mind. Those good words, those things about God and about going to heaven and about our faith that's uplifting to us, that's strengthening us, that's encouraging us. That's where we lost out, see? If we're not continually feeding ourselves with good things, then the bad things are just getting in because they're all around. And there's plenty of them. The devil's going to make sure you have more of them than you can know what to do with. You know, I think sometimes we get rid of some things when we grow up that we should keep, like that merry heart and like that song like a little child has in their heart, just going around singing and being happy. You know what? We as Christians need to be more like that. We need to go around singing the Lord's songs and praises to Him. I tell you what, you wouldn't believe how much difference it would do to you just to cut the garbage off from the world. And just try it for a while and just focus on God and His Word. Listen to some sermons. Man, we got some CDs back there, whatever. They're not much good. Some of them ain't because they're me. But anyways, really, just keep your mind focused on those good things and keep all that other blocked out, you wouldn't believe how your week's going to go better. You wouldn't believe how your days are going to go better if you have that. Man, there's no excuse for not having it needed, man. You can get a CD player at a yard sale for, I think I got one I paid about $3 for or something like that. It works just fine at work. I listen to it all the time, you know. And they're in the cars. I mean, there's no reason that we don't have good things. It's a little bit more trouble, but it's well worth what you put into it. It'll just make you change. It'll make you worry if you ever turn it back on after you've done it for about a week and you won't ever want to turn it on again. You don't want to use that switch for off. You know, and it's sad that you can't even listen to the news and decent things and it not be like that, but it's just the way it is. That's the time that we live in. Proverbs, scripture here, 14, it says, the last part of verse 13 there, but by sorrow the heart, the spirit is broken. Well, nobody wants their spirit to be broken, do they? But sorrow makes that happen. And whose choice is it? Whose choice is it about this? Whether you're cheerful of countenance or merry of heart or sad. Who is it? You know, I know in every situation it may not be yours, but you know, for the most part, you're the one who's in charge of which it is. I can go about to have a good day even if my whole day falls apart and it don't work just like it ought to because I got the Lord with me. He's my strength and He's my stay and He's who I put my confidence in. And I don't have to worry about these little things choking out that and taking that my joy away. And we as Christians don't need to let that happen. And we do so much of the time. It goes on, verse 14, it says, the heart of him that hath understanding, it seeketh knowledge. But the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart, he hath a continual feast. How about that? That sounds nice, don't it? Somebody who half understanding, they seek after knowledge. They want to know. They're not like this person in the last part of that verse, but the mouth of fools feed on foolishness. Well, I tell you what, this is a day and time when so many people is feeding on a bunch of foolishness. You know what? There's all kinds of things that people's focused on in this country and some of our politicians even too. You know what? I could care less. Sorry. And it's not that I'm cold and things don't matter, but there's a whole lot more important things than that. Like bringing people to the Lord. Like preaching the gospel. Like teaching the gospel. Like living our lives for Jesus Christ 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Amen. And a lot of those things, you know what? I can't do nothing about them anyway. You know, if there's something that's really laying on my heart, I can pray to the Lord about it, and He can do a lot more than I could ever think about doing. But besides that, I can't do anything about it. You know, I can name you off a list probably as long as my leg, too. And you probably know about half of them already anyways. But my point is where our focus is. That's where it needs to be. I'm working for the Lord. If you want to have like this last one says, in all the days of the afflicted of evil, but he that is of a merry heart, he has a continual feast. You know what? I like that continual feast. I like that physical one, and I like that spiritual one, too. There you go. You know, I like to eat. I'm not going to lie to you. I guess you can tell a little bit there. But the fact of the matter is, it should be like that with the Lord's people too, spiritually. We should like to eat too. We should like to have our spirit fed with God's Word. We should want to be around God's people. We should be want to sing God's praise. We should want to be happy in the Lord. You know, it's like I said earlier, there ain't going to nobody want to be like you if you go around with that smile turned upside down and sad. You know, and I tell you what, there's a lot of people has this perspective that it's really wrong for Christians should not be having fun. I tell you what, I tear that rule all up. I have as much fun as I can. And there ain't nothing wrong with it because it's pure and holy and untainted. It's things that God allows and He wants you to have fun. He wants your life to be pleasant. Just like you would your children. That's the comparison that gives here in Proverbs even of how our earthly father chastises us and everything. It's that same way with the Lord. He loves us so much. He wants our lives to be happy and filled with joy and peace and everything. Just like you do your children. No different. That same comparison. That's so we can relate to it. Why, none of you would do anything to make your children unhappy or to make it where... You know, to mess their lives up, the Lord sure wouldn't with us either. He wouldn't even expect it of us. He wouldn't even put joy and peace and having fun out there if it wasn't okay for us to have some. And we should. It's all right. You know, people shouldn't have that gloomy look at us sometimes and think, man, I don't want to be like them. If that's the way a Christian is, I don't want to be that way. They should be looking at us because we're going around with that big smile on our face. They might even think we're crazy, you know, because we're happy. They'd be wondering what's going on in you for sure, you know. I kind of like it be driving them crazy, just being happy and have a big smile on my face. Used to, a long time ago, they'd been thinking I was up to some mischief if I had a big smile on my face. I could make them real paranoid. But now then, I ain't about no mischief. I'm just about living for the Lord. And that's what's made my heart happy. You know, I remember a bunch of football players, I could have them in a huddle and I could walk up there and just start grinning. They'd be like, "What are you doing? What have you done? What is it?" You know? We used to have people doing that about because we're going around with a big smile on our face and be like, "What's going on with him?" People get curious about it, you know, if you go around with a smile on your face and you're happy. They'd be like, "I might want some of that. Maybe Christians ain't all that boring and don't have no fun after all. Maybe they can have fun and it's okay." You know, really, it just seems that way. Maybe I'm wrong. But, you know, we need to think about this. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 7, it says, "Go thy way and eat the bread with joy, and drink the wine with a merry heart." It says, For God now accepteth thy works." Well, my point in this scripture right here in bringing it in is it's talking about eating bread and drinking wine. And they drank wine. It was like water to them pretty much. They, you know, didn't have free water out in the desert like. And once the wine was fermented, it would keep. So it's not a focus on that. But it's saying how to do it. It's saying eat your bread with joy. Be happy. Be thankful. That's the way that we should be. We should be thankful for all the blessings we have. And drink the wine and have a merry heart. Knowing we're truly blessed. Knowing that we belong to the Lord. Knowing that one day we're not going to be in this place where all this evil and all this sin and all these bad things are going to happen. These tears and these dying and these partings. We're not going to be here no more. We're going to be up there with the Lord. We're going to be in that place that He's prepared for us. And we're going to be in eternal bliss. And it ain't going to be just for a little while. It's going to be for a long time. It's going to be for longer than I can even imagine. You know, here on this life, sometimes it seems like we live to be a ripe old age, that it's a long time. But just think about it now in those terms. How long is it going to be in heaven or in hell? Whew. Man, I'm telling you, I don't want to take that chance on hell and being there that long. You know, you live here in this life and you have to go through enough things already. It's just a natural part of it. As a matter of fact, I was doing a sermon on like trials and tribulations and things, and you know, some of the things that the Lord helps us to be more like what He wants us to be. He allows us to go through things sometimes. But the point being is we know that there's something greater. You know, I guess y'all all heard that story about that lady. I think she took her Fort with her. She wanted one put in her casket with her, and everybody's asking all about that. And said she related it to the dessert. She said she just kept her fork. Because she knew there was going to be something better at the end. You know, she's looking forward to that dessert here in this life. But she wanted that in there with her in that casket because it was a symbol of, she knew one day there's going to be something better there too. And I thought that's an awesome illustration right there. That should drive it home. We should really get the picture of what's going on there now. And turn to Psalms 126. And let's read a little bit right there. Psalms 126, verse 1, it says, "When the Lord," this is according to Matthew Henry commentary, this is the children of Israel when they were in captive in Babylon. It said, and this is after the time that they had hung their hearts up in the willow trees. It says, "And when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, when we were like them that dream," it said, "then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them, and the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south, that they sow in the that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And they that goeth forth with weeping, beareth precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." This is talking about the children of Israel. That's the reference there to captivity of Zion. His physical people then. But I just love the things that it says. Their mouths were filled with laughter. They were happy. Their tongue was singing. They had a song in their heart. That's the way we as Christians should be. It should be like that. And notice it says, they seen and the Lord hath done great things for them. And it's then they said among the heathen. And then the Lord, then they said, and the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we're glad. You know what? If we're Christians today, you know what? The Lord's done great things for us too. We should have that song in our heart. We should have that laughter on our tongue. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, the Scripture even talks about the Lord looking down and laughing. Sometimes He's laughing because man thinks they're so smart, and they're not. But it even gives a person thing with God how laughter is of Him. He wants us to laugh. He wants us to be happy. I think the doctors will even tell you that laughing is one of the most healthiest things that happens to your body. It'll help your body to heal and stuff. It's just because you have that joy. It does something that nothing else does. You know, sometimes we just get a chance and just have a good laugh over something. Sometimes it don't have to even be something all that funny. It can be just something pretty silly. You know, and just enjoy it. You know, sometimes we need to lighten up and it might be something real serious and we need to back up and just laugh at it. We realize what's going on. Sometimes it's just the devil trying to give us a hard time. We don't need to let it get to us. If we have to give it a good laugh and shake it off and go on, that's the way we need to be as Christians. We surely need to make sure that we don't say anything or do anything wrong. Go back to Proverbs a little bit, chapter 14. We're going to read just a little bit there. Proverbs 14 and verse 12. It says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It says, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Now, what I want to focus on here is this first part. It's the main thing that I had going on. You know, there's people out there that I know that are good people. And when I read this scripture, I thought about people that I work with. They're good-hearted. They live to a high moral standard. They'd give you the shirt off their back, some of them would. You know what? They're living their life in a way that seems right to them. But you know what? This scripture right here says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if He's not your King, if He's not your number one priority, I don't care how good you live your life, you're not going to make it to heaven. And that's not my words. That came right from the Master's mouth. He said, there's only one way to heaven, to my Father, and that's through me. That's what Jesus said. It came out. In the King James Version, it'd be a red letter edition. It'd be in the red. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. You know, and I tell you what, I even have members of my family who I love. And they live to a high moral standard. They're good, honest, decent people. Some of them are. But they don't know the Lord. It's just like this scripture says. Then the way that they're living is going to take them to death. And we're talking about spiritual death. We're talking about eternity in hell. That's what we're talking about here. And it's so sad. We need to be instruments. We need to. There must be something that we could say or something that we could do or have that opportunity to talk to them about the Lord before it's everlastingly too late. We don't have no promise of tomorrow. We don't know we'll make it out of this building tonight. And I'm not trying to scare anyone to death. I'm just bringing you the reality and the fragility of life. I'm sure every one of those 30-some-odd that died up there didn't have no worry in their mind that they'd make it through the day. Now they're dead and gone. They done met the Maker. Who knows? It might be us today. It might be us tomorrow. Who knows? We don't have any promise of it. The only surefire way is to make sure that you're ready right now. Amen. There's no other way around it. Just make sure that you're ready now. That's one thing I found for sure, and that's not something I'm willing to gamble on my soul over, is that I want to be ready now. You know, my daddy-in-law, think a lot of him, he always says, I'm going to get it right before I die. I'm going to get it right before I die. Well, we read an example in the Bible, kind of like that too. Old Agrippa told old Paul too, I'll hear you again on this, come back at some more convenient season. As far as I know, that never happened, see. And that's the thing about waiting till tomorrow. You don't know if tomorrow's going to come or not. You don't have no promise of that tomorrow. See? And that's the thing. You know what? I'm going to make sure that I'm going to make it because I'm going to make sure it's right today. Not tomorrow. I'm going to make sure it's right today. If I've got something that's wrong between me and the Lord, I'm going to make it right today. I'm going to make it right now, as a matter of fact. And that's the only surefire way. It's not something you want to gamble with your soul, is not. Turn with me, if you would, to James chapter 4, and let's read a little bit there. James talks a little bit about our fragility of our life and what life is and how that we should be about life. chapter 4, starting in verse 1. That's where we are in James. It says, "From whence come us wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?" You know, we all got that battle going on in between us, between our fleshly body and between our spirit if we're children of the Lord. And if we don't, even we have it in even doing what's right and doing what's wrong. We have that battle, that war going on between us. And just like I say in here, many times it's just about what we want. It's about our lusts. Our flesh is wanting to do this, and we know what's right, something else. It says, "You lust and you have not, you kill and you desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not." Part of the problem is because you don't ask the Lord. You think about that as children of the Lord. You don't have some things because you hadn't asked for it. You know what? Just the other day, the Lord let me see that. You know, I've been thinking, why is this like this? Well, you know why it was? Because I hadn't been asking for it to be no different. Real plain into my face. I've been asking lately, okay? And it's different. You don't have because you ain't asked. You know, it's like if Emerson's sitting there and he had $1,000 that I needed, if I don't never ask him for, he ain't never going to give it to me, is he? Well, it's the same way with the Lord. He might not know that I need it even. See, that's another thing, which the Lord does, but He wants that relationship. He wants us to talk to Him, tell Him about our deepest inner thoughts. He wants that communion with Him. He wants that personal relationship, just like with our relationships with one another. You know, that's how we have it. That's how we commune with Him, just like we do with one another. Someone said to me one time, "Well, I like your prayers. It just sounds like you're talking to somebody." Well, I am. I'm talking to the Lord. He's my friend. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I talk to Him all the time. It's just like any good friend you have, you talk to Him all the time, don't you? Yeah, it's the same way with the Lord. The Lord wants it. We need it. That's the thing. It says, "You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust." You're asking for things and it's because that's what you want. It's for you. Man, that's a perfect befitting in this society today, ain't it? People are praying. Well, I guess what I'm asking you is, when you're praying, are you saying, "Me, me, 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 me"? Or are you praying for somebody else? I guess that's what I'm asking. We need to be praying for other people. Seems like our problems just go away and ours don't look all that big if we get focused on other people's problems and get to praying to the Lord and asking Him to help them. We sort of forget all about our problems. It seems like they kind of take care of themselves. Don't they? And that's exactly what the Lord said. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." That's what He said in Matthew. So we need to be seeking first the kingdom of God. It says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Don't get any plainer than that, does it? James just puts it out there like it is. "Do you think that the Scripture saith, in vain the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." If you want to be lifted up, you just humble yourself and the Lord will lift you up. It don't say be proud of your own self, because God, that ain't okay with Him. We need to submit ourselves to the Lord. He resisteth the proud. We're putting a barrier in there. We're allowing that fleshly enemy and that friend of the world to get in between us and God. And if we draw nigh unto the Lord, He'll draw nigh unto us. We'll have Him just like David said right there. "I always forestall the Lord beside me. He was at my right hand that I should not be moved. He was right before me. The Lord was right there with Him." Why was it? Because He was right there with the Lord. That's why. Draw nigh to the Lord and He'll draw nigh to you. If you want the Lord by close, you keep Him close then. If you want the devil, just get away from the Lord a little bit. He'll be right between you and Him. For sure. It says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brethren and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgeth another? Go to now, ye that say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be of the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor and appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. You ever notice how long a vapor hangs around? And it's gone. That's like your life. That's like my life. No matter how long we live. It says, for you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and we will do this and we will do that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Very plain, very to the point. James don't pull any punches. He just lays it out there like it is. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to read a little bit there. I really like the way that James is straightforward, and you don't have to worry about what he's saying. Very direct to the point. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, that's Proverbs chapter 2, and hide my commandments with thee, so shalt thou incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. If thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walketh uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge into is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in frowardness of the wicked, though whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go in unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Did you hear that? None that go in return. It don't say some, it don't say few, it says none. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. It says, my son, forget not my law, and let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall be added to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, and fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health unto thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding he hath established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy neck, thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give it, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorner, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Well, that's a lot of good stuff in there. I'm about out of time there. There's certainly some good things in there. We need to keep that optimistic attitude, because we do have something to look forward to in the end. And we above everybody else. And we need to keep that smile turned up right. And we need to have a merry countenance. It does us good to be that way. It's something that'll help you as a person. It'll help your life to be different. It'll help you to be more like what God wants you to be. If you're subject to the invitation, if we can help you in any way, come. That's what the song is lit.